Joshua chapter 24. And I want to speak to you over the next several Sundays, Brighton, about perspectives. Of course, the year is 2020. Good vision is 2020. And you heard me say it in the announcement that because for a lack of vision, the people perish. You and I need to have proper perspectives in the spirit realm and in the physical realm in 2020. Can you say amen? And I want to kick off this Sunday by really speaking about this idea of my decisions, my destiny. Your decisions, your destiny. I love the story of J.D. Rockefeller. He got into a taxi cab after he got out of the airport a number of years ago. He was headed to a business meeting, and the cab driver recognized this multi-million billionaire. And he said, "Mr. Rockefeller, I have some money and I want to invest it. What should I do?" Rockefeller said, "Make wise decisions." "Well, that sounds great," the cabbie said, "but tell me, how do I make wise decisions?" Rockefeller said one word: experience. The cabbie said, "Well, yes, but how do I get experience?" Rockefeller said, "Bad decisions." The old adage is, Brighton, life is a game of chance. You've heard it, I've heard it. But in reality, I would say to you, life isn't a game of chance. Life is a game, if you will, if you want to call it that, of choices and decisions. Our choices in 2020 are far more inclining to the standard of living spiritually and physically we're going to have than any chance or circumstance, playing the lottery, if you will. Accepting the chance, if you will, Brighton, for our lives is not what the word tells us. It tells us that we're to make optimum decisions in the spirit realm so that we live as victors, not as victims. Remember what we said? Victorious living from the life of Joshua. In this story that we pick up today, and we'll just use to launch us for proper decision making, Joshua is near the end of his life. He's getting ready to sign off, if you will. And he's with the children of Israel in a community called Shechem. Say Shechem. And he issues a charge to them about life-changing decisions. And it's a passage of scripture many of you know. But the fact of the matter is, it would literally impact the generations to come for Joshua and the children of Israel. And Joshua made a God-centered choice that had implications for his whole life. And when you and I, when I say the words, if you will, godly decisions, I really mean making decisions according to God's will and his way so that he's at the center of our lives, not on the periphery. How many of you know it only works, this faith walk only works when Jesus is at the center? And every day, right, you and I make small and great decisions. I would submit to you, decisions, it's cliche, but it's true. Decisions determine our destiny. And our destiny, I don't believe this. I'm not Calvinist in that realm. Our destiny is not predetermined. I'm going to be given a free will in 2020, and it's the decisions I make that will guide my destiny, guide me to my destiny. And that's why choices are so important, and I want to speak about choices today. Look at Joshua chapter 24. He's in Shechem, and he's giving the farewell address to the children of Israel. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Say, serve the Lord. Brighton Assembly of God, serve. If you hear anything Bradley Trask says as your pastor today, hear those words. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord God Almighty. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose." Say, choose. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. We choose, Lord, as a body of believers to make the choice to follow you. I pray, Lord, that in these next few moments, you would help people to be spirit-led, anointed decision makers. Some of them never even heard a message on making choices. They've been confronted with it, but Lord, I pray in this decision-making message that you would speak to hearts and lives. And I ask, Lord, if there's one that has not made a choice to follow you, may today be the day they step across the line and say, Lord, I'm going to make you my Lord and my King. I pray, Lord, that if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. And I thank you for the body of Christ here in Brighton. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' mighty and awesome name. And all God's people would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Walking down the street one day, a woman heard a voice yell at her, stop! If you take another step, you'll be killed. She froze in her tracks. Seconds later, a brick fell out of a building under construction and landed in her path. A minute or two after that, she was getting ready to cross the street, and the same voice yelled, stop, don't cross the street now. An out-of-control truck sped around the corner and didn't even slow down as it ran a red light. Shaken, the woman was standing there, and she yelled out, who are you? I'm your guardian angel, the voice replied. I imagine you've got some questions for me, the angel said. You bet I do, the woman said. Where were you on my wedding day? Some of us love to blame God for the things that go wrong in our lives. Sometimes I find in marriage counseling with people that couples will have a lot of God talk involved. God brought them together, and God's performed, and he's involved in this predicament because we're not getting along together now, almost like Adam did. Remember when the Lord confronted him about partaking of the fruit, and he said, it's the woman that you gave me, Lord, almost blaming the Lord. But I gently remind couples, you know what? On their wedding day, you know what? God didn't push them down the aisle. It was a decision that they made. Today's message, my decisions, my destiny. The Bible's full, Brighton, of examples where men and women have had to make decisions. Moses declares with the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death. Now choose life that you and your children may live. Elijah confronted the children of Israel. He said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. Daniel is full of decisions. He resolved not to defile himself with the king's food and drink, the Bible says. The word tells us that Jesus himself said in John's Gospel 7:17, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. I want to say this right up front, right? The greatest choice a person can make is not what college they're going to go to. Even as important, it's the second most important decision. But it's not the most important decision, who they're going to marry. That's the second most. It's not the most important decision, is it? What career you're going to pursue or what house you're going to buy. The greatest choice that you can make is to follow Jesus. And I want to speak to you about living by conviction this morning, not by chance. And eight essentials to make choices properly in 2020. I want to race through these pretty quickly, Brighton, but I think they'll speak to your heart and your life. Some of them are very similar, but there's a little nuance difference. And I believe if you'll apply these 8 litmus tests for making decisions, it'll help you as you face the future. First off, when making a choice, choose the long range over the short range, or the short term, if you will. When making a decision for your family, a relationship, a career, ask yourself, where will this lead me? Can I just say, sociologists will tell us, especially in the millennial range of age, that the fact of the matter is, we as a people in our culture are not wise, for the most part, in making stepwise decisions. That this will lead to this, that will lead to this, that will lead to that. All significant decisions have long-range results. Many mistakes are made within our lives when we make a decision and it has a short-sighted thinking about it. You need a vision for the long range. Project, I would submit to you, into the future and see what the decision is that you're making. Where is it ultimately going to lead? Decisions have consequences and they have results. Never has it been seen more in the law than of sowing and reaping, if you will, in our decision making. Look what Paul writes. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to his sinful, pleases sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Could I say there? Let us not become weary in choosing to do good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Ron and I can tell you, over the 27 plus years, we've seen it in staff members. We've seen it in congregational participants. People often choose for the short view or the short term, because in the short term, there's often less stress to choose the short term results. Ron and I have a friend. I had problems with this microphone over the last couple weeks, and I apologize. Ron and I have a friend that we grew up with, and she was raised in the things of God. And she had a heart and has had a heart for the things of God. However, she met a man who really just didn't have a heart for the things of God like she did. And through the course of circumstances, the Lord gave this lady the opportunity to exit that relationship, and she didn't seize it. Said, you know what, he'll come around, and he never came around to spiritual things. Over the course of their marriage, you know what, he's become antagonistic, you know, very apathetic regarding the things of God, and it's only grown progressively worse. The fact of the matter is, the decision was made on the short term rather than the long term. And wise decisions are made for the long haul. Similarly, I would say, number two, that you need to choose the eternal over the temporal. Look what the word says. Paul says it. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. See that? What you see right here is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There was a wealthy young man. The Bible terms him as a rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus. It's there 3 times in all the synoptic gospels. Matthew 19, I think it's Mark 10, and then Luke 18. The rich young ruler's story is told. And Jesus told him, he asked, how should I receive eternal life? Jesus quoted some commandments. He said, I've kept all those since I was a little kid. And Jesus said, you lack one thing then, bro. Here's what you do. Sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. But the young man refused the offer. You know why, right? Not because he had money, but because money had him. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. And again, the Lord dropped this in my heart this past weekend, and maybe you've already seen it in that story multiple times. Now, there's a number of nuances and idiosyncrasies about that story. You know, it says the Lord loved him, and so the man went away sad, and all these different details. But have you ever thought about that? You can analyze a lot about the rich young ruler, but the fact of the matter is that Jesus had told him, I had preached it before, but I saw it again afresh this week. But the Bible says that Jesus told him, you will have, if you sell all your possessions, give it to the poor and come follow me, you will have treasures in heaven. That jumped off the page at me. Because what the man's problem was is right what we're talking about. He was looking at the temporal rather than the eternal. He was going to be rich. It was just going to be in the next life. And you and I, our decisions, Brian, have to be based upon, and we're not just talking about money today, that's part of it, but it's talking about the eternal versus the temporary. He didn't have an eternal perspective. The fact of the matter was that God has given you the basic tools that you need to make an eternal perspective the proper choice rather than the temporal world that we live in. The fact of the matter was the temporal world is time bound and it's wanting. It's fading. We need to balance our lives, Brighton, with the eternal and live in such a way that we make eternal investments. I'll close with a quote from C.S. Lewis today. But C.S. Lewis, during the end of World War II, was lecturing a group of his students at Oxford College. And he asked the students, how can you go to college and study literature when London is under siege? Then he answered his own question like a good college prof does. He said, the fact of the matter is, we're always under siege. The real question then is, will you spend your life dealing with the immediate or the eternal? Choose the eternal, Brighton, over the temporal. Okay, I'll give you an example of this. Rhonda signed me up to teach and to coach Eli's second grade basketball team. And I had these visions. For a while, I told you of, you know, instituting the Indiana motion offense and three-quarter court zone trap presses back to man-to-man and pick and rolls, switching on the defensive side. By the end of the first practice, I was like, hey, if we can find the bathroom and the drinking fountain, it's a win for us. But near the end of the fall season, somebody in the community said, you know what, get your boy this spring involved, Pastor, in football with our team. I said, really? You know what, I'll ask Eli, we'll talk to his mom, we'll think about that. He said, your only problem is going to be a lot of our practices are on Sunday morning. Can you arrange it? Reverend, can you make it? I said, you know, that won't go. You know what? That's just, we make a decision, we're going to be in the house of God. And the fact of the matter is, Brighton, in our lives, we're going to, as best we can, as God directs us, we're going to make decisions based on the eternal, not on the temporary. This football, basketball, as much as I love it, it's temporary. Thirdly, choose a new way. Choose a new way. Remember this powerful principle, Brian. What was once decided can be undecided. Don't get trapped by conditioned behavior or your traditions. If life's not working for you coming out of 2019, change your strategy. Change your mindset. Make a choice to change. Conditioned behaviors that are unproductive, change them. Life strategy that isn't working, change it. Can you say amen? Program thinking that isn't proper, get rid of it. Until you change your thinking about something, you can't change the way that you live. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, renewing your mind.
Ask the Lord to give you a totally new perspective. Jesus was calling people to a new life, a new way of life. In Mark's gospel, he said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. You don't want a new result at the end of 2020? Change your thinking about what the situation is that you want to see different. Let me give you an example of this from the secular world. 1992, CVS, just like the drugstore downtown and right up the road at Grand River and 23. CVS discovered that only 7% of their 10,000 person workforce was over 55. They conducted a study of their older employees and found that they were less likely to call in sick than the younger employees. And they were still capable of performing demanding tasks. 70-year-olds could still lift a box. 90-year-olds could still handle tough management decisions. So CVS began recruiting workers 55 and over. And today its force has more than doubled to 16% of total employee workforce population. Older workers, CVS finds, need less training in areas of customer service, and they show higher degrees of loyalty and dedication to their jobs. They found a new way. How much more can spiritual beings find a new way when they ask the Lord to direct their path? Choose for yourself, number four. I've told you this story so many times, but I just love it. So I'm sorry, you got to hear it one more time if you do. If you've heard it. But I love the story of President Reagan just as a little boy. He goes to the shoe cobbler, and his grandmother was buying him a pair of shoes. And the shoemaker said, what kind of toe do you want? Do you want a round toe or do you want a square toe? And Reagan said, you know what? Let me think about that. He saw the shoemaker a week later and said, what'd you decide on the shoes? He said, you know what? I'm still deciding. The next week in the mail came Ronald Reagan's shoes. It had one round-toed and one square-toed. President Reagan said he learned a valuable lesson. Either you make your choices or someone will make them for you. Don't surrender your God-given freedom. God has made you with a free will. And spiritually, we have to move from inherited faith as children to integrated faith that'll say, Lord, I want to follow you. I choose of my free volition. I love what Paul writes. He says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. I love David's writing. The psalmist that you all know, Psalm 23, said those words, the Lord is my shepherd. Say my shepherd. He's your shepherd. That's a personal term. We spelled the name differently, but one influential person that we named our daughter after is Eleanor Roosevelt. And I love what Eleanor Roosevelt said. She said, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It's expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. Choose for yourself. Choose today. Don't procrastinate, right? Mark Twain said, never put off till tomorrow what you can put off until the day after tomorrow. But you know what? Procrastination is a combination of two Latin words, pros, meaning forward, and cross, meaning tomorrow. Push forward to tomorrow, a decision. Remember what Joshua said in that passage we read this morning? But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day. Say this day. Can I just say to somebody, maybe you're listening online, you're wavering whether to follow the Lord. Today's the day of salvation. Now's your time. You're not promised tomorrow. And the fact of the matter is, today's the day of salvation. And I love what William James said. He said, when you have to make a choice and don't make it, that is in itself a choice. Every day gives us the gift of time, doesn't it? 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. And think about this, Bright. You can spend time, you can waste time, you can use time, but you can't save time. You've been given today. One of my favorite stories in the Bible has to be about Moses. He goes to the Pharaoh. You remember the story? And the Lord has told him, we're going to mete out the plagues. What's the first plague? Turns the Nile. The life-giving water of the Egyptian people turns it to blood. You remember what plague number two was? It's the frogs. The frogs come and there are frogs everywhere. How many of you are like me? Your parents, when you were little kids, you had frog legs. Anybody here? A few of you? If you didn't, raise your hand, say thank you, Jesus, okay? But there were frogs everywhere. The Egyptian people were being consumed by frogs. Moses goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, get rid of the frogs. Remember what he asked? He said, when do you want the frogs to go? You know what the guy said? Tomorrow. That's bizarre to me. It's almost like he could have said, you know what? One more night with the frogs. If I got frogs everywhere, I'm like, get them out of here now, bro. But don't procrastinate. Don't walk in here today and you've heard the word of the Lord. You know an area of your life. And the Spirit of God puts his finger on it. And you walk out and say, well, you know what? Maybe I'm mid-January. Maybe I'll start a reading program in the Word in February. Maybe I'll start fasting once a week for my kids in March. Choose today. Sixthly, choose courageously. You see what I put there in the parentheticals, Brighton, is convictions. Choices require us at times to go against the public tide or opinion or against the masses. Jesus himself talked about it, didn't he? He said there's two roads. One that's broad leads to destruction. One that's narrow and it leads to life. Choose the narrow road. You with me? Say amen. And it takes courage to make the right decisions. You've got to be convinced. Say convinced. What's the same root word as convinced? Convictions. You won't make a decision unless it's a conviction of yours. You say, well, Pastor, what are some of your convictions? I'll share a couple of my convictions. I already gave you one. You know what? For my family, man, I'm convinced that the best thing for them to be in a regular basis is in the house of God on the Lord's day. I just am. So we live that way. I live by the conviction as a pastor that I preach God's word line upon line, precept upon precept. That people that study God's word, that learn God's word line upon line, precept upon precept, they'll grow. They're stronger Christians. I believe in my life that when I pray, if I pray, God's people pray, different things will happen that wouldn't happen unless they pray. And so we're committed to pray on Wednesday night. Personally, I'm committed to pray, have time in the Word and a time of prayer of an hour plus every day because I'm convicted, I'm convinced that it makes a difference in my life and in the body of Christ. I'm convicted. I've got to. I would no more keep back more part of my 10% that I give to the Lord than it really brightened to disavow my faith. I would never do it because I'm convinced, you know what? God blesses the 90% more than I could spending that 100% myself. So I do that. Remember what we covered last week? We talked about strength. But notice what was always coupled with that. And we'll cover this in this Wednesday night study of victorious living. Be strong and courageous, verse 6. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, verse 9. Verse 18, only be strong and courageous. Make the choice. Choose, no matter what the populace is doing, choose to do it God's way. I don't know if he was a believer or not, but I love the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. It'll make a difference in your life. Choose by conviction, courageously. Choose decisively, hand in glove with that. Let's confront the myth of neutrality. Can we, Brian? I love what... it's not inspired scripture. It's not even scripture. But I love what Dante wrote. He said, the hottest place in hell are hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in times of crisis reserve their neutrality. What was he saying? You got to decide. And the word tells us that Jesus himself said, Matthew's gospel, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Elijah said, as he's confronting the prophets of Baal, and he's talking to the children of Israel, he said, how long are you guys going to waver between two opinions? You and I, we've got to make a choice this year for our lives, afresh. You say, well, I did it in 2019. Do it again in 2020. Follow the Lord wholeheartedly. It's on the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, the Vasham Holocaust Museum. It's attributed to a pastor by the name of Martin Niemöller. And he was a German Protestant pastor who lived between 1892 and 1984. But right there in the middle of the Nazi Holocaust, he said these words. He said, first they came for the communists, and I was not a communist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the Jews. I was not a Jew, so I said nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists. I was not a unionist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the Catholics. I was not a Catholic, so I said nothing. Last of all, they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. We got to speak. We got to choose decisively. I don't care what the rest of the families do in your neighborhood. For you and your house, you follow the Lord. And not to choose. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine this past week. And worship team, you can come on back. It's not in your notes, but jot down in the margin, would you, Bright? Esther, chapter 4. And between verses 10 and 14, but I love what it says there in verse number 12. Let me give you the backdrop. Remember, Haman has concocted an idea to wipe out the Jewish people. And Esther's in the king's household. And Mordecai comes to her and says, you've got to speak up. You got to speak up, Esther. And she starts to say, you know what? I just don't know. And Mordecai just speaks a word to her. No. You need to understand, you've got to decide. If you don't decide, you know what? You don't escape. It'll come for you too. And Brighton, there's seasons in our life as a nation, or seasons in our lives as spiritual individuals, where you just got to make the choice. And to say, you know what, I'm not going to decide is a decision. You can't be neutral. You've got to say, you know what, I'm not going to waver between two opinions. I'm going to choose to follow the Lord. I love what Pavarotti, this musician, he's writing his autobiography, and he says these words. He says, when I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He introduced me to work very hard and to develop my voice. Ariago Pola was a professional tenor in my hometown of Medina, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you'll fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one. I took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks or writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. I would submit to you, Brian, choose to follow the Lord. Of all every other voice that's out there, follow the Lord and choose wholeheartedly. Number 8. Choose decisively, choose wholeheartedly. I believe in everything to do it wholeheartedly. I believe that. If it's worth doing, it's worth our best effort. You know what? My flesh this morning at 6 a.m., it wanted to roll over. I'll give you that. But you know what? I knew I was going to stand before God's people, and I'm going to give an account for how I preach. And you know what? After I got done walking through my sermon, I envision you. Please don't switch your chairs because it messes me up when I'm envisioning you. Just telling. I got the Garvins right here. I got the Rosati's right there. I mean, on it goes. Dell right there. When I'm really in a good mood, I pretend Dell has some chicken paprikash she's going to give to me after a good sermon. She makes paprikash for us. But can I tell you what I did after that this morning? I went and I anointed every chair in this sanctuary with oil. Lord, please, the people that sit in these chairs this year, may they receive the word gladly. May it not fall on deaf ears. May the seed take root. Because that's how we ought to live as God's people. If we're going to do it, we ought to do it the best we can. Solomon, this wise man, he said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. I love the legendary story. I know it's not true. But a man was walking out in the desert at night and he heard a voice speak to him. Pick up a handful of pebbles and put them in your pocket. Tomorrow you will both be sorry and glad. The man obeyed. He stooped down and picked up a handful of pebbles, put them in his pocket. The next morning, he reached into the pocket and found that they were diamonds and rubies and emeralds. He was both sorry and he was glad. Glad that he had taken some, sorry that he had not taken more. And in our lives, if we're going to do it, if we're going to follow the Lord, let's not go at it half-cocked. Let's go at it and say, oh God, I want to follow you with all my heart. I want to be full of the Spirit of God, enthusiastic for my faith. And Lord, you have all of me because I want all that you have in store for my life. That sociologist, humorist Irma Bombeck, she was a believer. And she said, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left, but could say I used everything you gave me. How many of you would say with your life, Lord, I choose you today. I choose to follow you. Would you stand with me, Bright? I want to close with a quote. And then I'm going to ask you for the privilege of praying over you today as we close. And I quoted C.S. Lewis earlier. And listen to these words. For somebody here today, if you've never decided to follow the Lord or you've drifted, today's your day. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Listen to what Lewis wrote about the end times. And he said, when the author walks onto the stage, the play's over. God is going to invade, all right. But what is the good of saying you are on his side then when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else comes crashing in. This time it will be God without disguise. Something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. It will be the time when we discover which side we really have chosen. Whether we realized it before or not. Now, today, this moment is our chance to choose the right side.